Would you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray for us as we get into God's word today. Amen. I am so thankful for the word of God. For the word of God. You know, there are times that the word of God, it lifts us up and encourages us when we're discouraged. There's times that the word of God just builds up our faith and puts the wind in our sails. There's time that the word of God brings clarity when we're confused about something. There's times that the word of God brings correction to our lives when we've gotten off course a little bit and we need to make a course correction. God's word does that for us. God speaks to us through his word. Amen. And so my prayer today is not that I'm just going to get up and give a sermon, but that God is going to speak to us through his word. All right? Now, in order for that to happen, not only do I need to say what God wants me to say, you need to hear what God wants you to hear. Right? And so I just want to invite you, would you open up your heart to the Lord and just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you today personally through his word, all right? Would you do that right now with me? Father, we thank you, God, for the power of your word, God, that it is truth, it is life, that it is living, God, that it is life-changing. And so, Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will speak to us through your word. God, in Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, amen. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. Turn with me to a couple of places in your Bible, Galatians chapter 5 and James chapter 1. Galatians chapter 5, James chapter 1. I want to say a big thank you to Pastor Troy for filling in for me last Sunday. Janice and I had the opportunity to go up to Washington to see our kids and our six grandchildren. And man, we had a big time. We actually, for one day, we had them all six together. We had a fantastic time. For Janice, it's all about goodies and gifts and telling stories to the kids. And for me, it's WrestleMania 58. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we missed you last week, but we're glad to be back today. So we've been doing this series called Living Beyond, it's based on Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about the fact that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live beyond, way beyond, our own abilities to live. So Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, as we look at that list of things, the reality is none of us have total perfection on anything on that list, right? So there's probably some things on that list that you look at and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good in that area. I just want to encourage you that God has more for you. Amen? We should never, as Christians, come to a place where we feel like we've arrived, because we don't arrive until Jesus comes back to take us home. Amen? Yeah. And there's probably other things on that list of the fruit of the Spirit. There's probably other things on that list where you look at that particular characteristic and you go, man, I'm a mess. Well, I've got good news for you. We serve a God that is good at helping us clean up messes. Amen? Yeah, Jesus came into this world and he got right into the mess that we've made. And he comes right into our lives, right into the mess, and he empowers us, and he loves us, and he gives us grace for those things. So as we go through these list of things, my prayer is that nobody's going to walk out ever just kind of hanging your head and feel like, man, I'm such a failure in that area. No. We want you to know that God loves us, and he's gracious to us, and he's going to help us. Amen? And so this morning we're going to zero in on forbearance. And we got a little out of sequence here because Pastor Troy talked about kindness last week. So we're backing up one and picking up this word forbearance. Now, forbearance is not a word that we use much these days. At least I don't use this word very much. But I understand why the editors of the NIV chose this particular word. Several of the versions use the word patience, which is more recognizable probably to us. The problem with using the word patience here is that the word patience has so many different meanings for us. Like we might say, you know, I need to be more patient with my kids, or I need to be more patient with the people that I work with, or I need to be more patient with, you know, those idiots that are driving, or, you know, for me, I need to be more patient with that woman who's in front of me at Starbucks that needs 5 minutes to describe her drink, right? So patience, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We could all probably use a little more patience in our lives, but that's just really not what it's talking about here. This is a much deeper thing. The Greek word here, and this is why I like the word forbearance, it means to restrain from taking action when faced with outside pressure. Okay? So it's just deeper. It's not those little things that annoy us too easily. It's how we handle it when circumstances or people are actually coming against us. And of course, in Bible times, that happened a lot. That was happening a lot with Christians, where they were faced with real pressure for being a Christian. James chapter 1, I want to go there because this addresses some Christians that were facing a lot of pressure. James chapter 1. And I'm going to get to verse 12, which is up on the screen in just a moment, but I'm going to read a couple other verses leading up to that. James chapter 1 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then we skip down to verse 12, which is on the screen. James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial." So this is what forbearance is about. "Perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person," there's a reward, "will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, these people that James was writing to, they were living under extreme pressure. If you go back to verse 1, it says that the letter is addressed to the 12 tribes, and it says scattered among the nations. These are people that are scattered among the nations. So a lot of the New Testament books were written to a specific group of people, you know, the church in Rome or the church in Philippi or the church in Galatia. This particular letter is written to a bunch of Christians who had been scattered, and the reason they were scattered is because persecution had come so strongly against them that they were faced with either leaving their home and their city or being executed. And so these people are being forced. They've been forced from their jobs and their families and their cities and the life that they'd known, and they're scattered all over the world. And depending on who the particular emperor was at the time, many of the Roman emperors required people actually to venerate them and to burn incense to them as they would a god. So the Christians were not being persecuted because they believed in God. They were being persecuted because they believed in only one God. And whereas the rest of their culture thought everybody should worship a bunch of gods and worship Caesar as well, Christians were saying, no, we don't worship anybody except for Jesus. And for that, they were being persecuted. And then add to that, there's all these, you know, they're basically refugees landing in all these new cities and towns. So they're refugees. And where there's a bunch of refugees, there's opportunity for wealthy people to take advantage of those people. And so they needed to get new jobs, right? Well, when the job line, you know, the application for the job line is a mile long with refugees, then typically wealthy, unscrupulous people will take advantage of that, and they will pay the lowest wage they can, right? And so that's, as we read the book of James, that's what's happening. These people, they're refugees, and they're being taken advantage of, and their only crime was they were followers of Jesus Christ. And James is writing to them, and it's so important for us to remember this morning, because a lot of us, we don't even identify with that kind of persecution. It's important for us to remember that for the last 2,000 years, millions of Christians have literally laid down their lives because of their devotion to Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to remember, as we've been reminded by Rich this morning, that there are Christians today all over this world that have been forced from their jobs, excommunicated by their families, forced to leave even the places that they live, beaten in prison, tortured, and even martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, is there anything besides admiring that kind of sacrifice that we this morning in this place can take from this passage of Scripture? What can we learn about forbearance? So I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. When we get pushback for our faith, listen, church, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. That in the United States of America, we're going to be losing some of the freedoms that we enjoy today. Right? I mean, I don't love that idea, but the fact is we can see the day coming where following Jesus is going to cost us a lot more than it does right now. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And so many of the freedoms that we enjoy today and even take for granted today, they're being taken away a little bit at a time. So when we, right now, when we get pushback for our faith, what do we do with that? How do we demonstrate forbearance and patience when we get pushback for our faith? So I want to give you a few things this morning about that. And the first one is this. When we get pushback for our faith, it's an opportunity for us to evaluate the depth of our devotion to Christ. It's an opportunity for us to really examine our hearts and say, am I really devoted to Jesus? Look, as a Christian, you don't have to be some courageous superhero, but you do need to be devoted to Jesus, right? Devoted to Jesus. Now, I love talking about the blessings that God pours into our lives. I love talking about that. I celebrate those blessings, and we need to understand how blessed we are. I love it. But my fear is in us always only talking about the great joy and blessings and the goodness of God being poured into our lives, my fear is if that's all we talk about is how blessed we are, then we're going to begin to forget that all the blessings that we have, they cost something. That Jesus laid down his life. He gave himself up so that we can be blessed. Amen? And so if the devotion level of Jesus to us was that he only went halfway to the cross, then all of us would be lost for eternity. Amen? So our devotion level to Jesus cannot be half-hearted. Our devotion level to Jesus needs to be 100%. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? And so when we start to get pushback, it's that opportunity for us to say, well, how devoted am I to Jesus, really? Am I devoted to Jesus in a way that reflects how devoted he's been to me? So when we get pushback, it's that opportunity. This, by the way, I believe is one of the reasons why water baptism is so important. When we get baptized in water, we're not saying we're now a perfect person. We're just saying we're devoted to Jesus. Amen? It's us saying, okay, Jesus has given me this new life. I'm devoted to him, and I'm going to go public with that. It's not half-hearted. I'm following the Lord. You know, when we do anything half-hearted, it usually doesn't work out very well. Right? If you enter into marriage, come on. If you enter into marriage half-heartedly, you're going to be another statistic. Right? It just half-hearted things just never work out. I remember as a young person, I was just a kid. I was probably, I think I was like 8 or 9 when this happened. And my family was at my uncle's house, which is on a Lake Kai up in Washington. I was afraid of the water. I hadn't learned how to swim yet. And I was really afraid of the water, but I liked being around the water. I liked fishing. I liked going out in a boat. But the water always made me real nervous. So one day, we were at my uncle's house, and my dad's going to take me out fishing in the rowboat, and I was really afraid to get in the boat. So my dad's there in the boat next to the dock, and I'm standing on the edge of the dock, and I want to get in the boat, but I don't want to get in the boat, right? I'm scared. And so what I do is I get 1 foot in the boat, but I don't commit all the way. And my other foot stays on the dock. And you know, you can picture it now, right? I mean, the boat got further and further from the dock, and I was forced, which I was afraid of the water, but I had to jump in. And this is what happens. This is what happens, folks, when a person says, well, I think I want to follow Jesus, but I'm going to put 1 foot here, but I'm going to keep another foot in the world. That just never works. Never works. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done this, get in with both feet. Amen? Get in with both feet. Follow Jesus with everything that you have. All right? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus gave this warning, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Whew. Those are some powerful, powerful words, but how many of you know that's challenging, but Jesus always tells the truth, amen? All right? Yeah. Number two, when we get pushback for our faith, it's an opportunity to love with unusual and supernatural grace. We don't respond to hate with hate. We don't respond to accusation with accusation. We respond to hate with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? With supernatural, unusual love. It's not like the love that the world has. It's agape love. It's love that flows from the heart of the Father to people that even hate him. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Whew. Yeah. Number three, when we get pushback for our faith, number three, it's an opportunity to depend on Christ and lean into his power. Whenever we're faced with anything that's beyond us, above us, it's a great opportunity for us to lean on the Lord for his strength. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a conversation with a friend of mine that a year ago was diagnosed with a very, very bad form of cancer, and it was stage 4, and this last year just physically has been hell on earth. surgeries and chemotherapy. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to this friend, and he said, Tim, I got to tell you, you know, I wouldn't wish what's happened to me on anybody, and I'd really never want to go through this again. But I can also tell you that in a way, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because he said, during this time, I've had to lean on the Lord and trust God, and my relationship with God is better than it's ever been. And so when we go through trials in life, it's an opportunity for us when we recognize, man, this is just beyond me. I don't have what it takes. It's an opportunity for us to really lean in to the Lord. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a great promise. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. So these guys were going through persecution as well. As though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Wow. And then look at this. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you when you're going through that trial. God shows up and God empowers us, and his glory fills our lives. And God fills us and gives us everything that we need. Amen? Yeah. And we get beyond, we get to that point where we just, like, we come to an end of ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote this, he from the Lord, he said, when you are weak, then you are strong. Yeah, because we're walking in the strength and power of the Lord. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, there's nothing I can endure when Jesus is with me and in me. Hallelujah. And then number four, and this is the last one this morning, when we get pushback for our faith, it's an opportunity for us to focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. You know, none of us wants things to get worse in our world, I hope. None of us wants to see that. But I got to say, as things get worse in our world, it is a sign to us that Jesus is coming back soon, right? Like, the worse things get, it's more of an indication to us, yeah, the Lord said this was going to happen before he came back. And so we look forward, not to the things that we have to go through, but we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever heard of a thing that they call the doomsday clock? Anybody here? Yeah, it's this, you know, theoretical thing that scientists, you know, get together and that they just kind of calculate what they consider to be the odds that, you know, we'll make it another 5 years or another 10 years. And over the years, this thing started clear back during World War II, actually, and over the last few decades, it's the timeline, of course, has changed several times. But I want you to know, church, I want you to know the world actually is coming to an end. I mean, it really is. Now, no scientist is going to determine when the world is going to come to an end, but God has already decided that date. And let us never forget that we don't live for this world because this world's passing away, right? And so some of the pressure that we feel, remember, this world is not our home anyway. We look forward to something so much greater, so much more glorious. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? It's a good question. You ought to live holy and godly lives. There's the answer. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Come on, church. Amen. Yeah, none of us wants things to get worse in our world, but never forget, God has something glorious and beautiful and wonderful for us that's going to last for all eternity. Amen. Don't settle for the smallness and temporal things of this world that will not last. Invest fully in the life, the eternal life that God has for you. Amen. Live for those things that are going to last for all eternity. So this morning, as we get ready to close, I just want to pray for you that God is going to give you perseverance, that God is going to give you patience, that God is going to give you forbearance in whatever you face in life, that God is going to give you that strength that you need to carry on and to go through. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to have the worship team come on up this morning. This morning, as I was praying over today's service and I was just thinking through the message, the Lord took me to a passage of scripture that wasn't in my notes for today, but I believe the Lord really wanted me to close with this, because I believe that there are those this morning that need this promise from God's word. So I want to read this scripture, and I just want to pray this over your life as we prepare to close this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 29. Listen, and it's not going to be up on the screen because I just picked it out this morning. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says this: He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hallelujah. So I want to pray that over your life today. The blessing of God, that God is our strength. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Would you lift up your hands to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God, that as we have shared today from your word about forbearance, we thank you today, God, that when we are weak, you are strong, God. Where our patience may come up short, God, if we will lean into you, God, you will be our strength. God, we will rise up. We will rise up. We will rise up, Lord. God, out of the doldrums and weariness of life, out of those things that drain us and sap our strength and discourage us, God, we will rise up. We will rise up like eagles, Lord. God, and you will carry us, Lord. You will carry us. And so, Lord, I pray, God, for those that might be weary today and they're going through something, God, that's draining their strength and discouraging their faith. God, I pray today they would be lifted up by your Holy Spirit, God. And maybe they've walked into this place with their head hanging down. God, I pray that they will leave this place today full of faith, with their shoulders thrown back and their head held high, because you're the lifter of our heads, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. praise your name. Praise your name. Give you thanks today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord just a thanksgiving today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.